Oh, okay.
Evans, oh, Judy Davis, are you on? Or Gladys, have you heard from Conrad?
No, I'm just trying to call him.
Okay.
And really quickly for all the council members that are on, and Steve, Mark Nelson just sent another attachment that Judy forwarded to everybody. Now might be a good time to look through that while we're waiting for Conrad.
You said a new document, Michaela?
Yeah, it would have just come from Boulder, Utah at scinternet.net.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. It is 2 pages.
Good thing we're on computers and we can check our email.
And we not have time to go through it, but when Mark does his presentation, if he wants to enter that into the record, I think that will be fine. I don't know. I haven't seen it, and I don't want to hurry myself through it, so we may just have to handle it that way. Well, let's go ahead and get started. Gladys, did you have any luck?
Yes, I think Conrad's trying to get on with his just a couple of minutes.
Okay. Yeah. All right. We'll wait. This is pretty important, so I'd like all council members available to be able to comment, listen.
Conrad's having a few family issues. He's waiting on an emergency call, but he said he would try to get in with us.
Well, let's give him a couple minutes, and then we can proceed, and maybe he can join us as he can. For all those you can hear, we're just waiting for one other council member who may or may not be able to join us. That's why we're running just a little bit late.
Sorry. change the boundary.
I'm gonna
say the add or something.
I'll read it up.
Yeah.
Well, let's go ahead and get started. Maybe Conrad can join us as we move along. So welcome to the August 6th Town Council meeting. Council members Gladys Lefevre and Elizabeth Julian are present. Conrad Jepson and Judy Drain are not present at the moment. Judy Drain is excused to be absent from tonight's meeting. Myself also, the mayor is here, Steve Cox. If you'll stand and face the flag, we'll do a Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, thank you. First item on the agenda tonight was to approve minutes for June 18th and July 2nd. We've had some technical difficulties getting those out to you, so we'll put those on next month's meeting to approve those. So we'll have those to you for next month. So that moving on to the next one. Tonight is the hearing. You can see it's broken into three sections. We thought it'd be a little bit better to sort of establish some timelines and things. So I'm going to, you know, this is the first time we've had an appeal since I've been here, so we're going to try to do it right. We have our participants tonight. We have Mr. Mark McKiff, who is our town attorney. He's present to help the town council with questions we may have. We have Mr. John Andrews, who will be representing Mrs. Jackie Smalley, Miss Jackie Smalley. And we have Mark Nelson. I'll read from a script. We'll kind of lead. I'll try to, you know, present this the best way we can so that there is an appeal to district court by either party. We have a clear trail of what we're doing. So this hearing is being held in accordance with the Boulder Town Zoning Ordinance, Section 1802, which designates the town council as the appeal authority for appeals of planning commission decisions. On advice from our town attorney, Mr. Mark McKiff, our duty tonight is only to determine whether Mr. Mark Nelson is qualified under Utah state law to appeal the planning commission's approval of a conditional use permit for an arts and cultural center on the Boulder Creek Canyon Ranch owned by Jackie Smalley. If we decide that Mr. Nelson is qualified to file an appeal, then his appeal will be placed on the agenda for a future meeting. As stated in our zoning ordinance, section 1809, the burden of proof is on Mr. Nelson as the appellant to prove he has standing to appeal. Now, the first section, consideration of appeal of planning commission approval. Either party can appeal tonight's decision to district court, so I want to create a timeline of events and a record of the evidence given to the town council members and involved parties. We've tried to make sure everyone got all of the correspondence, all of the letters. It's been an interesting process combining email and letters and trying to get everybody what they need, but we tried to make it as fair as we can. If you're missing something, If it's short, I'm sure I could read that, but I hope all of you by now have all of the documents that I'm going to list. And we'll use those as our written evidence in tonight's hearing. So on June 11th, 2020, the Planning Commission approved a conditional use permit for the proposed Boulder Arts and Cultural Center located on the Boulder Creek Canyon Ranch owned by Ms. Jackie Smalley. You received the minutes of that meeting granting the conditional use permit by email from the town clerk with a copy provided to Mr. Mark Nelson, the appellant. The clerk will now enter those minutes into the record of this hearing as an exhibit and attachment to the meeting. On June 21st, 2020, Mr. Nelson filed an appeal application with the town contesting that approval. You received that appeal application citing 11 appeal points with numerous attachments via Dropbox from the town clerk. The clerk will now enter the application and attachments into the record of this hearing as an exhibit and attachments to the minutes. The town then received a letter and a motion to dismiss from Mr. Andrews, representing Jackie Smalley, dated July 15th, 2020. You received a copy via email from the town clerk with a copy provided to Mr. Nelson, the appellant. The clerk will now enter that letter into the record of this hearing and as an exhibit and attachment to the minutes. You received by email a copy of a letter from the clerk's office, town clerk's office, to Mark Nelson dated July 23rd, 2020, forwarding a copy of the motion to dismiss, setting a date for the hearing of August 6th, 2020, for the motion to dismiss and outlining the procedure for this hearing. The clerk will now enter that letter into the record of this hearing as an exhibit and attachment to the minutes. The town received a letter and documents from Mr. Nelson dated July 30th, 2020, responding to the motion to dismiss. You received a copy of that letter and documents via email, as did Mr. Andrews. The clerk will now enter that letter and documents into the record of this hearing as an exhibit and attachment to the minutes. Finally, you received two emails containing the opinions from Mr. Mark McKiff, town attorney, dated July 28th, 2020, and August 4th, 2020, regarding the motion to dismiss. Copies of these emails were provided to Mr. Nelson, the appellant, and Mr. John Andrews. The clerk will now enter these into the record of this hearing as exhibits and attachment to the minutes. So that's a little bit of the timeline and the documents that we've had to consider to this point. Now, the hearing on the standing of the appellant, including the presentation and discussion by both parties on points of law regarding the standing of the appellant. So we've recognized Mr. John Andrews representing Ms. Smalley, Mr. Mark Nelson, representing himself, Mr. Mark McKiff, the Boulder town attorney. Thanks to each of you for being here and being willing to participate in this. On advice from our attorney, we will proceed in the following manner. Mr. Andrews will be allowed to present his arguments on the points of law regarding standing. Mr. Nelson will then be allowed to respond Mr. Andrews' arguments, and then present his own arguments on the points of law regarding standing. Mr. Andrews will then be given time to respond to Mr. Nelson's arguments. I will then open the discussion to questions or statements from the town council. Please, town council, if you have a question, direct it to whoever you intend that to go to, so we'll know who that is. This is not a public hearing, and no other public comments will be taken on this matter. Okay, Mr. Andrews, if you would like to begin.
Thank you very much, Mayor Cox. Can people hear me?
You're a little faint to me, but I can hear you.
Yes.
So I hope that's a little bit better. Thank you for taking the time to hear our request tonight. My name is John Andrews. I'm with the Snell and Wilmer law firm in Salt Lake City, and I'm representing the Boulder Creek Canyon Ranch and its proprietor, Ms. Jackie Smalley. The simple reason for our request tonight is that Utah law prevents people who are not, quote, adversely affected, unquote, from appealing a land use decision made by a local government. And the Utah legislature has very, very specifically defined who is an adversely affected party that would allow that person to bring a land use appeal. It's an adjoining landowner, or it's someone who has suffered damages different in kind than or distinct from that of the general community. And this requirement, I saw a supporting letter that was entered into the record supporting Mr. Nelson's position, saying, well, that's a legal technicality and the appeal should be allowed to continue. That requirement is more than a legal technicality. It is state law that conditions bringing an appeal to those classified by the legislature as being adversely effective. As the mayor's introduction noted, the appellant has the burden of proving all of the necessary conditions for their appeal. And one of those conditions is that they show the special damage necessary to be considered an adversely affected party. I'd like to talk about why would the legislature put that in the state code. It is, as people have pointed out, a relatively new requirement, but it's one that came to light in a recent legislative session, as the legislative history indicates, as part of the consensus land use package brought to the legislature by the Utah League of Cities and Towns with their annual legislative package. And the point of the legislation was that that all land use decisions are controversial to someone. All of you know that that any decision you make will attract criticism, have people disagree with it strongly all the time. But if we look to our court system and how it operates, in order to bring a lawsuit against someone, you have to show that you have suffered some sort of tangible damage. Well, the prior state of the law was unclear about that in the context of land use appeals. And the legislature, it appears, believed that the courts and the time of municipal government was being taken up on appeals where the people disagreed with the land use decision, but they hadn't actually been damaged. And again, everyone's going to disagree, and the legislature chose to apply the standard that would apply in a normal lawsuit, which would be you have to show damage to bring a lawsuit. And I think that that really the policy issue there is that if people disagree with the land use decisions of a planning commission or of a town council or another elected municipal or county body. The solution for popular disagreement with those decisions is called an election. And that's where the where decisions over what the character of the community say, or some of the other issues that have been raised here, ought to be addressed, not in the context of what's a quasi-judicial proceeding. And anyway, that is what the legislature has very specifically determined. So what is special damage? I think it's pretty easy to think of these sort of scenarios that the legislature's definition of adversely affected would apply to. If I have a well that is going to potentially be dried up by some new large development that is going in, and I can show that I have a reasonable thought that may happen, that's special damage beyond, that is different from that suffered by the community. If I have a child with asthma, and someone is putting in a new gravel pit quarter mile upwind, I may not be an adjoining landowner, but that's the sort of special damage that would support an appeal. If we look conversely at the appeal points that were raised in the original appeal, it's all about process. It is about alleged conflicts of interest. It's about people didn't have, two of the planning commission members supposedly didn't have enough time to raise additional conditions, that sort of thing. I mean, you can go down the list. And while we're not talking about the merits of those, what we can look at is the type of complaint that has been raised. And throughout this appeal, it's purely about Mr. Nelson's dislike of the project, disagreement with the project, and its general effect on the community, and not on any sort of special harm. And as such, his appeal is not the type of appeal that the legislature has contemplated. I want to address just a couple of other minor points. There was argument that the town's ordinances contain a broader standard for bringing appeals than what the legislature has done with their definition of adversely affected. The problem with that is that, frankly, the town's ordinances have not kept up with the changes in the Land Use Development Management Act, LUDMA, over the last few years. And the legislature has very specifically said that the town may not impose ordinance provisions that conflict with LUDMA. And so by the legislature's changes to the underlying statute mean that that an ordinance provision, pre-existing ordinance provision that would allow an appeal would not be allowed on the basis of the conflict with the statute. And that's pretty common sense, a common sense view of state law, that state law does trump municipal ordinance in the hierarchy of laws. And then finally, I would just talk, and this again goes to the conditional use permit process. So when you look at the provisions of the Utah Code and of the town's ordinances, a conditional use permit that is in compliance with the underlying zoning, and I think no one contests that here, has to be granted. There is a requirement that it be granted if the permit contains conditions that would reasonably address any identified detrimental impacts. And that was the focus of the Planning Commission's decision. Mitigation, think about those words, mitigation, detrimental impacts, and the like. Those are specifics. And we have here an appeal that is based not on any claim that the conditions imposed didn't mitigate or that there were unidentified detrimental impacts that had been identified at the time. And of course, the critical point is at the time of the CUP issuance and not addressed. We instead have these 11 points of procedure that simply don't address what the statute actually says about how conditional use permits are issued. So with that, I would entertain any questions, but as just a general summary, the town council is obligated to follow state law. State law requires that a certain level of tangible harm beyond the just disliking the decision, disagreeing with the process, there has to be tangible harm by law in order for an appeal to proceed. And that just simply isn't present here. And I say that with all respect. I want to make that very, very clear. With all respect to Mr. Nelson's disagreement with the project, he clearly feels very strongly, and people are entitled to disagree, but that disagreement doesn't lead to an entitlement to invoke the what is basically a judicial process. So thank you, and I'll look forward to answering any questions.
Okay, thank you, and we'll save questions until after Mr. Nelson's presentation. He'll have the chance to respond to your arguments, and then he will have a chance to present his own, and then we'll give you one more chance to address his arguments. So, Mr. Nelson, the floor is yours.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, this is all very new to me, so I just want to say, you might have to help me along with this. I'm not a lawyer. The whole Zoom thing is new to me. I'll do the best I can. Please, if I'm not being clear, just stop me and help me through this. So, not being a lawyer, not doing this before, I just figured the only way to handle your format there was I just made a few notes Mr. Andrews made his comments. I made a few notes, and I guess I'll just try and address those notes. One of the first subjects he brought up was the burden of proof. Now, I want to refer to this last document I said to you. I actually sent it over there earlier today, but Michelle didn't see it until late, and that's why you didn't get it. But so I'd like this document entered into the record as well. At the top of it says statutory standing. And so I'll just, this first issue of burden of proof, I'm going to read off that. Burden of proof. The burden of proof. Excuse me. The burden of proof requirement to establish standing is not supported by Utah Supreme Court case law. A party must only allege an adverse effect to gain standing. See Spreck versus Big Water Town to establish proof requirement. Okay? The Supreme Court stated that to have standing to pursue a declaratory judgment, a party must allege and prove special damages. Okay? The Utah Supreme Court rarely imposes a requirement that a party prove its alleged harm or even causation to establish standing. Sierra Club, right? This makes sense because standing questions arise early in litigation, usually before discovery and introduction of evidence, and to require a significant level of proof would be an undue burdensome. Because it would require litigants to invest time and money in gathering evidence necessary to prove their claim, only to be denied standing. Okay? So that's my answer on the burden of proof. I think it's pretty self-explanatory. Tangible damages. That was one of his comments there. And so, how do you measure tangible damages? Or special damage. I'm not quite sure how to do that. I would say that, if our procedures of our planning commission have been damaged, if ethics have been damaged, if people haven't been allowed to talk, I would call that damage. And I don't know quite how to address that further than that right now. Then one of the issues he says that, we shouldn't, if there's these issues with town management, that we should take care of that with an election. Well, that's true. I think that's the way we do things. But that's a long-term solution. This is a short-term problem. You just don't let things fall apart while you're waiting for election to come around. You have to deal with some of these problems short-term. So I think that's a false argument. And a types of complaint. I guess what he's trying to say is I'm just complaining because I don't like the project. I think it's pretty obvious if you read any of the materials that I put down there, it's not even addressed the project per se. It's about what happened at that meeting. It's about ethics and conflict of interest. It's about procedure. It's about the fact that two of the planning commission members weren't allowed to speak or bring up any issues about identified impacts, which he addressed himself, that, we identify impacts and we discuss those. Well, if the commission members can't be allowed to bring up conflicts, then that's a damage. And that's by John Andrews' own definition. So that doesn't hold up. Dislike or not, not following the town plan. Okay, this again, it's just, I just like the project, so I'm against it, so I'm making trouble. That's absurd. I think anybody that's even, remotely looked over the materials here, no, it's not about that at all. It's anything about the project itself. It's about what happened at that meeting. I probably should read my letter. Would that be okay if I read my letter answering John Andrews' original motion to dismiss? Would that be okay, Steve? Or?
Time is yours, Mark.
Okay, you're bored. I've been a full-time resident of Boulder, Utah for 42 years. Four generations of my family live and work in Boulder Town. Over these many years, I have served on the town board, planning commission, currently serve on the Board of Adjustments. I have served on the Park Committee, various other planning committees, groups, boards, have attended seminars, workshops, conventions to support these positions, many at my own expense. I have done all this to try and help the town protect its custom culture, rural values as we move into the future. Wow, what's wrong with that? I helped organize Boulder's first volunteer EMT service and served as an EMT for 6 years. My family has served as volunteers, EMTs, fire department many years. I've contributed hundreds of hours and considerable personal funds and service to this community. I have earned standing in this community and have given it my heart and soul. I feel this level of service differentiates me in kind from the community at large by the very level of my involvement exceeding the general community. I'm adversely affected, damaged, and injured by the very nature of my complaints as outlined in my appeal document. It's not a magic. He keeps saying that it's because I don't like it. And the town lawyer, McGiff, mentioned in his second letter that you shouldn't consider arguments about people that don't like things. Well, that's not me. You know, that's not what's going on here. And it's pretty obvious if anybody that's read the documents. I am adversely affected, damaged, and injured by the very nature of my complaints outlined in my appeal document. After more than 35 years of service to Boulder Town Planning Commission, supposed public hearing on Jackie Smalley's Art Center application was the most agonizing, egregious misuse of power and influence I've ever witnessed in this town. Over 35 years, that's saying something. That's not because I don't like the Art Center. I would like to refer you to my heartfelt letter to Jackie Smalley preceding the application hearing, imploring her to please address my concerns about her application, inviting her to discuss the issues like neighbors should in a small town. Right? She ignored my plea, plowed ahead, discarded public input at the hearing, and then when I complained, she sicked her Salt Lake City's lawyers on me to suggest I have no standing when it comes to planning decisions in this town. That's absurd. Look at my record. Come on, folks. I would call this adding insult to injury, making me adverse effectively citizen. Don't you think so? After all that, you know, and to be insulted like that, and then to suggest I have no standing, which, you know, I want to talk more about that issue when I finish reading my letter about the standing issue. Furthermore, putting a blanket over my head does not address my valid complaints. The problems do not go away just because they are ignored. These are all reasons my appeal should move ahead and those complaints answered. This is supposed to be a community-based project. Really, folks? A community-based project where the community doesn't get to participate. You know, that's the big problem here. The Planning Commission is supposed to be a firewall to prevent this sort of abuse, but Curtis Oberhansley and the Planning Commissioner, the head of the Planning Commission, blocked all those, wouldn't allow that. That's not right. You know, there's supposed to be that's the firewall of the abuse that didn't happen. That filter failed this in this case. The town council appealing authority is now the firewall. Let this appeal move forward. I have made my case for standing and I adversely affected, damaged, and injured party. Conclusion, I have standing, a moral imperative, and a right empowered by Boulder Town Zoning Ordinance to make my appeal. See the following attachments, which are the Boulder Town Zoning Ordinance, a municipal code that says that anyone can make an appeal. Now, John Andrews wants to make you think it's going to be, that's trumped by the LUDMA ordinance, which, you know, I think you can make that argument, but even the state ombudsman has said that in a letter to Keith Watts that at the very least, the decision on whether or not to grant Mr. Nelson standing is a matter of legal interpretation. Justice will be best served to hear out Mr. Nelson's complaints, do a thorough review of what happened, and make fair judgments. If anyone is not satisfied with the results, they can take the matter to district court. That's from the state ombudsman, Mr. Andrews. Also, you know, Mr. Andrews, he likes to quote the LUDMA law about what a damaged an aggrieved party is. Well, I would like to bring up there's also an alternative standing test. Utah allows parties to gain standing if they can show that they are an appropriate party, that they are an appropriate party raising issues of significant public importance. Washington County Water Conservancy District versus Morgan. Case law, okay? Right? I am the appropriate party because of all my experience. And this is of significant public importance because the public process was not observed or satisfied. So I would say that I have standing just based on all the alternative standing test alone. And that's just one argument, you know, to go with all the rest of these arguments. So he goes back to, okay, one of the other things he talked about in his his explanation of, you know, why the state, why the legislatures and all the things to save us from ourselves, right? And reference common sense. Well, it is common sense that when you have a planning commission, you let them plan. There's just not a few people that do the planning, you know? And if those people that are involved in the decisions have conflicts of interest, then they shouldn't be doing, participating in that particular planning. You know, this has been addressed in the documents that I've presented to you from the state, which is also a state, you know, the LUDMA Act is the Land Use and Management Act. Well, there's another act called the Officers and Employees, Utah Officers and Employees Act, which is an ethics act that specifically says that if you have any of these kind of conflict of interest, that you should not be participating in these decisions. And also, there are penalties for doing that. Being removed from office, there's financial penalties, that is an act. They're both acts. So, you know, which act, you know, does ethics not matter anymore? They do. They do matter. And there's an act, there's a state act, just like the Land Management Act, that says they matter. And that's what I'm complaining about. I'm not complaining because I don't like the project. I'm a big arts fan. I do think the project is disproportionate. But these are the things that should have been discussed in the planning process that weren't. And so, let's see if there's anything else there. Unidentified impacts and identified impacts. Well, I think we know what the identified impacts are, is that if this is the way we're going to do business in this town, then we're going to be in chaos all the time, you know, and that's the whole reason I got into this. I didn't get into this process because I love doing this or I have fun doing it. You know, the files that I put together on this whole thing, I call the hellfire files because this is hell. Right? To me it is. I'm not doing it for fun or because I don't like Jackie, you know, or I don't like the project per se. I think there's some problems with it that were never addressed, you know, and so we should go back on that. And I think the last thing I had there on just on my notes on what he said about tangible damage. You know, I think if I would have to say the state laws on ethics is pretty tangible. You know, that's a tangible thing, important to a town. And that's what this is about for me. And, you know, I'm sure I have more to talk about here, but that that much addresses the points that he made. So do I turn it back over to you now, Steve?
Yes, thank you. Okay. Hey, Mr. Andrews, you have a chance to respond to any of those arguments.
Thank you. Let me respond to the last issue first. The claim, and obviously, Jackie Smalley profoundly, profoundly disagrees with these fairly scurrilous claims of lack of ethics that have been thrown against the wall. That's the substance, and if we have to go there in a substantive hearing, we're certain they will be absolutely and totally rebutted. This is something that is really some allegations that are beyond the pale compared to what you would see when you review the record, review the tape of the Planning Commission meeting and the like. But that said, these claims of some sort of malfeasance by members of the Planning Commission. Once again, that's a community issue. That's not a individual issue by which Mr. Nelson was harmed. And the statute requires an individual injury to move forward, not just a community good governance concern such as has been raised with all of these process objections, and that simply hasn't been shown. A appellant in a land use thing has to show that they have been individually damaged beyond that of the community. And boy, good governance is a common community issue rather than an individual one, if there ever was one. Second thing, and I hate to get too deep into the law of the cases that were cited concerning standing issues, but since they've been raised, I think it's appropriate to answer them. Both the Sierra Club and the Washington County Water Conservancy District cases that were cited dealt with either standing in the Sierra Club case in the context of an environmental appeal of a proposed coal plant in Sevier County. Washington County Water Conservancy District was a case, as you might imagine, involving judicial litigation over water rights. And the in those cases, the Supreme Court was not dealing with a legislative definition of what is required to bring an action. So in both the Washington County and the Sierra Club cases, the court was dealing with a what standing requirements should be applied in the absence of a a legislative enactment. In the Speck case, which was a land use decision, the Supreme Court did take a fairly broad view of what people would be allowed to bring land use challenges. And the point being that the legislature disagreed with what the Supreme Court held and imposed the rules that we're talking about here. So the Speck case simply isn't good law anymore because the legislature has said, we don't think so. We think the rules are this. And the rule that is before the town council right now is the rule in section, the definition in section 10-9A-103-2, which is you have to show damages different in kind or injury distinct from that of the general community. And once again, that's simply not here. So I apologize about having to dive into the case law. And that is, but that is responsive to what was read to the court. Let me address the ombudsman as well. The Utah Property Rights Ombudsman's office is a purely advisory office. They will take on seeking to resolve conflicts of this on an advisory basis. Their typical process is to actually allow both parties to weigh in. And then they essentially run a mediation between parties who have land use disputes. I haven't seen, obviously, we were never provided anything by Mr. Nelson in connection with the ombudsman's office, but calling him or shooting a guy in that office an email and saying, what do you think about this? When there's nothing, we have no idea how the question was phrased, if it was phrased correctly, have been provided, haven't been able to see anything that was referred to. And I think the town council should have pretty significant concerns about a one-off, you know, not having participation in the normal process where there is back and forth with the ombudsman rather than some informal and again, one party only type of content. I'd love to see what the ombudsman said and how it was phrased to them, but again, we haven't seen that. And then just in final, there was a question raised about the compliance with the general plan, and the general plan is an under statute is an advisory document, but the more to the point, the ordinances control, and the ordinances clearly permit this use as a conditional use, and the Planning Commission addressed conditions, addressed potential detriments, and dealt with the issue. And if we get into the substance at a subsequent hearing, we will go there. But those are the types of issues, those detriments, were they appropriately mitigated, that are have to be the focus of what the injury is, not just this general community concern about process.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
I'm going to open it up now to the town council to ask any questions or statements, and also to our attorney, Mr. McKiff, if he has anything to weigh in. We value his advice. It's been very valuable to us. And so, Mark, if you want to join in at some point or answer any questions, please feel free to do so. So I'll start with Gladys. Do you have any questions or comments?
Okay, I just want to make sure I understand. Okay, so the conditional use permit process, gave the conditional use permit, everything was in compliance, correct?
No.
Yes, that is what the Planning Commission found. They approved the conditional use permit. It does not involve the town council. It's only a decision by the Planning Commission, and they did approve that application.
Okay. The next thing I want to make sure I understand from Mr. Nelson's viewpoint. His objection is the public process with the Planning Commission, in his opinion, was not observed or followed because he felt there were some conflicts of interest. They didn't hear all the input. Am I correct on that?
Can I answer that now?
Yeah. I'll just say that's his contention. Yes.
Well, can I answer that? No. I think she directed that question to me.
No, she's directing her questions to, I think, me leading this and to our attorney.
Is that right, Gladys? I thought you were asking me that question.
No, I just want to make sure that I'm understanding your point of view. And I
really don't want Steve talking from my point of view. You know, that's why I would like to answer my point of view on that.
She can rephrase the question and I will answer that. If there's anything beyond that, we'll let you speak. But I think she's just asking procedure questions, and that's what I will answer, or the attorney.
Steve, you didn't tell her. You told her it was not a unanimous decision.
If she didn't ask that. So
if
she asked you a question directly, you will be allowed to respond. She hasn't asked you a question directly.
Right. Gladys, please, if you have some questions for me, ask me directly so I can talk to you.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Gladys.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure. I guess maybe I'm asking our attorney, Mr. McKiff. Okay, as the town board, when we make this decision, we have to decide whether the Planning Commission followed the protocol they needed to, and everything was in compliance. And so is Mr. Nelson's objection is, or his appeal is it based on the fact, from your, in your opinion, that the public process was not observed or followed? Now, does that make sense?
Well, I'm not sure. What I don't want to do is make an argument for either side. I'm here to help. It looks to me like Mr. Nelson is objecting to the procedure, but I don't want to speak for him either. And so it's true that what you've got to do is decide whether the Planning Commission got it right and followed the town ordinance. And so I'm an expert on Mr. Nelson's position because, I mean, I've read the things that he's set forth, but I'm not going to make his argument for him either. I wouldn't want to get it wrong. So am I answering your question?
Okay. So as a town board, can we consider the fact of his opinion that he's being injured is because the Planning Commission did not follow the right, they didn't observe the right process? Can that be his tangible evidence that he's been wrong?
It may be his argument, but I wouldn't say that satisfies the requirements. That's a decision that the town council is going to have to make.
Oh, okay. That's what I think you've answered my question. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions, Gladys?
No, that's all.
Okay. Elizabeth, are you back on?
Yes, I apologize. I heard Gladys's first two questions, but my internet cut me out for a moment and I am back.
Okay. Go ahead if you have any questions or comments.
I guess my question is that I still, I think it's similar to what Gladys was saying. I think there, you know, is there a separation between the appeal saying that Mark Nelson is, has the special damage, or is the appeal going towards the process that the Planning Commission went? And that's, I think, where my confusion is.
Okay.
I don't know if
I can clarify this, but let me give you what I do in this case. This is a decision on standing, whether or not he meets the requirements of the statute 10-9A-703. That is what the contention was, is that he did not meet the standard that would allow him to appeal. There's a number of things a land use applicant can appeal. He's not that. A board or officer of the municipality can appeal. He's not that. He's not an elected official. And then it comes down to being adversely affected. An adversely affected party, and that has two parts. He could be an adjoining landowner, and that is not the case. And then the last sentence is the one that I think we're looking at. It said, will suffer a damage different in kind than, or an injury distinct from that of the general community as a result of the land use decision. That's the one where I haven't heard any evidence that shows an injury or damage that is different than that of the community. Most of what I've heard is about the process and how it may affect the community, but I'm just thinking that if if we're going to decide, we have to go with the letter of the law. And that is, does he have standing? And in my opinion, according to this, I haven't heard any evidence of damage or injury distinct from that of the general community as a result of this land use decision. I don't know if that helps answer your question. I don't want us to get sidetracked into the process that happened, because that isn't what we're doing tonight.
Thank you for that clarification.
Yes, thanks, Steve. I think that clarified things for me too.
Do I get to speak on this at all?
No.
Okay, so we will move on to a vote. Unless Mark McKiff, do you have any additional?
I think Conrad's on now, Steve.
If Conrad's on now, I don't know that. Conrad, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yes. Have you heard enough of this?
I've been on since you did the Pledge of Allegiance.
Oh, okay. So
he got on real early. I just didn't know if you noticed.
No, I didn't see your name. So Conrad, let's move to you. Do you have any questions or comments on what we've been discussing?
I'm hearing from him, had this been brought up instead of just him bringing it, had it been a community thing brought forward to where it is a community issue rather than everybody having it pile on being a Mark Nelson issue, that to me would have brought to where it isn't damages, but to where he's like you said, we're showing this and he's complaining, or what I'm hearing is the way the process that it was done in the planning commission, where he's complaining how it got passed. My question is, he's brought up some things to where I guess somebody was needing, what he felt that someone was needing to be excused from the vote. And I guess my question then would be, has there been any other times that people have been asked to excuse themselves from voting on ordinances or issues when things are passed in the planning commission?
Good.
Yeah, so Conrad, I'll try to answer that too. The planning commission are the ones that approve conditional use permits. So they have a process that they go through. I think since it did gain approval, I think they felt like they had done everything that they needed to do and were required to do by our ordinances. I don't know if there was anything above and beyond that should have been brought up, but it wasn't during the meeting. And a number of different people could have appealed this. Any adjoining landowner, any officer, any elected official of the town could have appealed this, and they did not. So
I am an officer of the town, Steve.
You're not an elected official.
I'm an appointed official. That gives me the same status.
No, it doesn't, according to the law that I have read. Conrad, that's where I'm at. Mark, please be quiet. Conrad, that's where I'm at is when the Planning Commission does their job, I think they do it as well as they can under the law.
I'm agreeing with you. My question was, has there been other meetings where people have been asked to excuse themselves from voting?
Yes.
Yes. If there is a conflict of interest and it is identified during the meeting and agreed to by the person that they ask about the conflict of interest, they can recuse themselves. It doesn't mean they have to.
Correct.
They may have a defense, but yes, it has been done in the past. It wasn't done in this meeting.
Okay, my question is, was it asked, was anybody, during the meeting, was anybody asked? So it wasn't brought up at all?
No, not in this meeting. Not according to the minutes. And I sat in on the meeting, and no one brought up that during the meeting.
Okay, I'm good. You've helped me very much. Thank you.
Okay, any other questions or comments? Okay,
not so at this time.
I think we've all had a chance to hear from both parties. We've had a chance to hear from our attorney. I just go back to, I guess I could ask each of you or make a motion. Before I make a motion, maybe, I heard no evidence that there was any personal injury or damage that would allow Mr. Nelson to be the appellant. That's where I'm at right now. That I'm trying to follow the line. I did not hear any of that. So,
Steve, question.
Yes, Conrad.
Okay, let's just say something goes Mark Nelson's way tonight. Let's just can this be handled within ourselves rather than escalating this problem?
No, as I understand it, the next level would be one or the other parties could appeal it to the district court. And that's why I wanted to create a pretty specific record, because the evidence, both written and oral, and then our questions and discussion would all be part of that record, as would our reasons for deciding one way or the other. So I believe I'm correct on that. Correct me if I'm not, Mark McKiff.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Well, I mean, if you decide that Mr. Nelson has standing, then you need to have another hearing, which is the actual appeal of the merits of the decision of the Planning Commission.
Oh yeah, correct.
So it would not go to court after this. It would go to another, you'd have to do the full appeal, and then it could go to court after that.
Okay, thank you for correcting me on that.
So
does that make sense?
It does. Again, when he answers that, is that us working this appeal out within ourselves, between the Planning Commission and us, or are you saying, Mr. McKiff, that there's a different type of meeting that we have to have?
No, it'd be another one like this one, where both sides would have their chance to present their arguments as to why the Planning Commission made the right or wrong decision. I recommended that you separate tonight's hearing from the full appeal, because if there's not, if you determine that he doesn't have standing, then both sides don't have to prepare to address all 11 contentions or all of the issues. There's no reason to go through those if you decide he doesn't have standing for the appeal. If you decide he does have standing, then everybody will prepare for another hearing on another day, and the town council will go through it.
So, Mark, I have a question. Would then Ms. Smalley, be able to appeal the standing question to district court before the next step?
You mean before the town council has the ultimate appeal?
Yes.
I think she'd have a hard time, because I think let's say she goes to court and does that, somebody can raise an argument that the administrative appeals have not been exhausted. They haven't been finished yet. So it's not ready to go to court. She can always file a case, but I wouldn't be surprised if the judge said, wait a minute, how do you do this before you even finish the appeal? But that's for the judge to decide. That's not a decision that you have to make or I have to make. If that's the way that it goes and a case is filed and somebody raises the argument that administrative remedies have not been exhausted, then the judge decides whether it's right for appeal yet or not. If he decides, yes, she can do her appeal now, then he hears the case. Or he may say, nope, it's not ripe yet. Send it back to Boulder, let them finish their hearings, and then come back to me.
Mr. Mayor, okay. May I just briefly?
I object. You wouldn't let me talk.
Okay. We wouldn't go to district court.
Okay.
Hey, what are you doing? You wouldn't let me make any comments.
So are there any other questions from the town council? Michela, could you mute Mark for now? We're done with his testimony. Mark Nelson.
Did I hear what?
Would you mute Mark Nelson for now?
Yes.
Yeah, we're done with his testimony. Everybody else is muted. It's the town council now that we have the decision of whether or not we decide. So
just remember,
do you have something?
Just let me make one more statement just to finalize what, to make sure that, because I've heard the questions that have been asked.
Okay.
What the town council is really deciding, and I told you in my email that I don't want you to do what I say. I want you to make the right decision. It's your call. But that when the mayor went through those different things that would let you qualify if you were an officer of the town, if you're an adjoining landowner, that definition, the last one of adversely affected party, that's really what the town council is being asked to decide. Does Mr. Nelson qualify as an adversely affected party? And the definition is fairly straightforward in the statute. And so the arguments about process, don't let those things convince you that the definition is any different than the definition is. The arguments about process don't change the definition that's in the statute. You're trying to interpret that definition of an adversely affected person. So the arguments about process don't change the definition. You have to decide, is Mr. Nelson an adversely affected person or is he not? I think that's what, I mean, I hope that helps.
Okay, any other questions or comments from the town council? Okay, then I'm going to make a motion that we dismiss the appeal based on the fact that I have heard or seen no evidence that the appellant will suffer damage different in kind or injury distinct from that of the general community as a result of the land use decision. Do I have a second?
Yes, I will have to second because I believe you are correct in following the law. Yes.
Okay, so it's been moved and seconded. Any last discussions before we take a roll call vote? Elizabeth, I think you're out for the moment. So we may have to wait for Elizabeth to log back on.
No, I'm...
You there? We can't hear you if you are there.
I can hear.
Okay, so I'll go ahead. I made the motion. It's been seconded that we dismiss the appeal. So all in favor, Steve Cox, aye.
Oops.
Gladys?
Sorry, can you hear me?
Yes.
Aye.
Elizabeth?
Aye.
Conrad?
No.
Okay, the motion passes 3-1. So the appeal is dismissed. Okay, thank you all. We will move on to the next item on the agenda.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. Those of you that want to stick around, go ahead. Those of you that are finished, thank you.
Can you?
Is that when someone trying to speak?
Yes, but I don't know who.
Okay. All right. The next.
It's Elizabeth.
Elizabeth, you're breaking up to the point Elizabeth. We can't hear you.
She did just text me and say, I can hear you, but you can't hear me. I hear the motion and the second. But then I think she just cut out again. Let's see if she can rejoin.
So the motion did pass 3-1.
Right. There she is.
Okay. If she can hear us, we'll move on to the next thing on the agenda is to consider the bid from Bryce Thompson for cutting the town's dead trees. I thought I'd better check with the tree board on that issue because the tree board usually gives us advice on these types of things. We have a street tree ordinance and we do have a board that's created and we do allow them some input. I've talked to Constance and she's been talking to other members of the board. They're in contact with our Tree City representative with Forest Fire and State Lands, but he hasn't had a chance to respond or to come look at the tree and see if it's to the point where it can be salvaged or if it needs to come down, if it's considered a hazard tree. So I'd like to put off talking about any bids tonight and maybe put it off until our next meeting when we have more information of what we should do. Now, the bid may, I think it was good for 30 days, but we can get another bid if we decide that's the way we want to go. So unless there's any objection, I think we'll table that one until next month.
Is that to cut trees along the road, up and down these roads down here and around the town?
Well, the tree that we were talking about was the damaged cottonwood by the dumpsters.
Oh, okay. I gotcha.
Yeah. So we did get a bid to cut that particular tree, but I think we need a little bit more advice before we move on that. Okay. We can move on to department reports. Elizabeth, go ahead. Oh, she's still trying to.
No, can you hear me on my telephone?
Yes.
Okay. Just for the record, for everyone to know, I could hear you the entire time. I heard both the motion and the second.
Okay.
I'm going to turn off my sound, though, because I'm echoing. And then I'll give my department reports. Okay. Let's see. Department reports. I've got a couple things here. EMS. There was no news or updates from the fire. EMTs have had several calls this month. Their radio communication remains inadequate, although they have been able to respond through various relays of communication. The testing for the national exam is available. However, neither Andy nor Taylor have registered or taken the exam yet. There has been no movement in Peter's initial proposal or discussion that we kind of tabled at the beginning of March, and so that still hasn't moved forward, although there's been some emails between the EMTs, the fire, and myself. Let's see, the next one. There's no news or updates from the Arts Council. They still have everything on hold. The Fire Council, they held a meeting, and they have a couple requests for information, as well as some things that they've got going on. They would like to help with some getting access, even if it's on file, of the 5 county of governments, the Natural Hazards Mitigation Plan, and they would like the Garfield County section, and they don't know if we are able to help them with that. They'd also like information, and Michela, this is mostly directed to you, but on the process that you use to create all the properties and residences within the town that you were doing for the Planning Commission recently. They would also, let's see, they have an input for a proposed activities on Friday, August 28th, between 10 and noon. They would like to hold a demonstration that talks about the effective methods of creating defensible spaces. They'd like to display useful equipment and provide information on where people can rent or purchase it. And they would make they would like to make it available for people to log their volunteer hours. So, can you all still hear me?
Yes.
Okay, just making sure that I'm not talking to myself. The Library Board, they have some requests as well. Let's see. So as it has previously happened, the town has split the wireless, the internet connection in the town hall that allows people in the community to use that wireless internet. And the yearly cost is $1,564.32. The library... it pays half of that, and the town pays their portion. And they're asking for it to be all paid in full at once so they can pay it out. And their reasoning this year is because of due to COVID, they've been unable to do their usual fundraisers, and they would like the money. And I know that we've already allocated it in our budget. And I believe we allocated $1,000, and they're asking for $782.16.
Okay, so will you work with Judy or Michela to get that money to you so it can be paid out?
Yes, and I can send those exact numbers. I'll send them to everybody, but then I'll coordinate with Judy and Michela to get a check to the library through Cookie Schaus, who's their treasurer.
Okay, great.
Cookie usually sends me a bill.
Okay.
Okay.
I think what it is, Judy, oh, I can just touch base with you.
Okay.
Thank
you. Anything from the school district?
No. Well, I can give you updates. There's things changing very rapidly and quickly. Governor, schools are opening mandatory masks on all school campuses. Garfield County's committed to opening schools, and all schools are opening for in-person. And then there is a protocol procedures that were passed last month that everybody is following, and then each individual school has their kind of own. Schools open on Wednesday, August, I think that's the 19th.
Okay.
And Boulder Elementary School is opening. It will look a little bit different as people drive by because we're going to be doing a lot more outdoor classrooms. The church has agreed to work with the school district and Boulder Elementary School, and we're using the pavilion. There's now an outdoor internet access point on our fence line that is providing internet for under the pavilion at the church. And then we also are getting an event tent put up temporarily.
Okay. Anything else?
Nope.
Okay, I would also really like to thank our EMTs and our first responders, you know, who are always involved. We've had several major accidents that could have ended very badly. And I think the coordination between our EMTs and Escalante's EMTs has probably saved some lives. And I want them to know how much I appreciate them doing the training, the joint training, staying up on their licenses. And, you know, I just can't commend them any more than I can for their efforts. So I wanted to say
and
that.
And I think going into that, the Boulder Fire too, because they have been coordinating and participating on the calls and supporting on that, but also they've, some of the more recent calls, they've gotten the pages, but the EMTs didn't. And the reason our EMTs have been able to respond is because of that relayed communication from okay. the fire department to the EMTs. And so it's been really nice for all parties.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. And then the other thing is I will send out some information from the Five County Association of Government. They have sort of combined our fire council into a bigger plan.
Okay.
It still allows us to get federal assistance and funds. And I'll send that on to them because at some point we need to form sort of a new modified fire council, but it will still include fire, which I think is one of our big threats. So I'll get that to them.
Okay. And then as far as getting back to them on their suggested demonstration of activities on Friday, August 28th, does anybody have any opposition to that?
No.
Okay. I will get back to them on those things. Thank you.
Okay. Conrad, do you have anything on enforcement or landfill?
Landfill, he said he's going to talk to Sam Stout and get up there and move some things and probably dig another hole here pretty soon. You asked me to find him another partner that could fill in at different times.
Yes.
And I talked to Jimmy Catmull, and he'd be willing to help out at any time.
Great.
You asked, has anybody found the pink slip to that rig yet? Or do we need to call over there and ask them where it's at?
Wait, which one is that you're talking about?
The pink slip that you said we didn't have for the registration on the cart at the park.
I have the title.
Oh, you got the title then?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we can register it then and get the tags on it.
Yeah, and I think Michela was following up with that. Were you, Michela or Judy, of how we get the UTV registered?
Well, you can just go over to Donnie and give him the slip, and he'll give you new tags and everything.
Okay, I'll let you take care of that.
That's fine.
All right. Thank you for doing that.
Just give me the paperwork and I'll take it.
Okay. And you can get that from Judy. So that'd be great. Yeah, we need to take care of that. So appreciate that. A couple more things, Conrad. I don't know if they've hauled off the furniture pile or the metal pile yet at the landfill.
He said that they haven't been that interested because of the price of metal so far. And
okay.
So I guess they're waiting for it to accumulate a little bit more.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll just have to, how about the furniture?
I guess it's in the same vein as that.
Okay. All right.
I'll ask them again. I'll run them down and say, you know, how much longer do we have to wait? Do you think? So
okay.
He can call them and we'll go from there. Okay.
All right. That sounds good. Thank you. Okay. Gladys, cemetery, buildings, travel council.
Okay. The travel council generally does not meet during the summer. But they keep us updated online. So there's not anything really important going on there. Town hall, I assume everything is okay. I haven't heard any complaints or anything. The cemetery, since Shalene Mackey has left, she's no longer going to be on the cemetery committee. So I appointed my daughter, Elena Lefevre, because I want her to figure out how to map and plot the cemetery. So I've had quite a few people ask, they would like to reserve places and plots. So I'm going, that's why I'm asking her to be on the board so she can take care of that. That's all
okay.
I have.
While she's doing that, is it possible, and maybe you've done this already, to identify the veterans headstones or graves?
We sure can, yes.
Okay, and then maybe if we can do that, we'll know how many flags. I'd still like to do that flag project if we can by Veterans Day. So let's see if we can get a count and maybe move forward with that.
Okay, I will.
All right, thanks. And okay. I wanted to tell you, I appreciate your work on the parade. It was different, but I thought it was great. I liked the route, and I appreciate you taking that on because I know you probably fielded some questions on.
Nobody complains to me. Here's your chance, everybody. Start calling and complaining.
No, it's too late now. So thank you for that.
You bet.
Okay. And as I said, Judy Drain's not here. Planning Commission. I don't know if anybody's here from the Planning Commission. Peg, do you have any quick things to tell us maybe?
Just on the agenda for next week is there will be a public hearing on the wireless communication and tower and facilities. Zoning ordinance change amendment recommendations.
Okay.
That's a public hearing, and there is a work meeting with Lee Nellis to go over the table of use and the processes that he's discussing that starts at 6 p.m. And Colleen's on also. I think I'm forgetting the next other major item, but.
Colleen, did you have anything to add just so we know what's going on maybe?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I'm just trying to think myself. Like Peg said, we start with Lee Nellis. We go on to the cell phone tower.
Oh, Tom Hoyt.
Yeah. And then also, yes, we also have the conceptual information from Tom Hoyt.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And then
sounds
what
like
Peg's,
you've got a full plate on that.
Yep.
On the 13th.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. What have you got for us? Judy or Michela?
Checks to be approved.
Okay.
I emailed those just before meeting, but I don't know if anybody got them.
I did. Did everybody get a copy of those checks issued?
Yes, Gladys did.
Okay. Conrad?
I did, but I didn't get a chance to open it. So
I'm not going to get out yet until they close.
I was in the same place as Conrad. I got them, but I haven't looked at them, but I can pull them up now.
We can table that until next meeting if you'd like, or if you want to look through them very quickly. But I'm fine if we table those. Up to you two. Conrad, what do you think?
If they're not any different or any more than what we've previously done, I'd say go ahead.
Okay. Elizabeth, have you had a chance?
I have them up now, so I feel comfortable looking at them while we're doing it.
Okay. So I will make a motion that we accept the checks issued for July 2020.
I will second that.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded by Gladys. All in favor? Aye.
Gladys.
Aye. Okay, Gladys, aye. Conrad, aye.
Elizabeth Julian, aye.
Okay, very good. Anything else, clerks?
Can't think of anything.
Okay, thank you.
Except
the only thing I, yes, go ahead, Judy.
If you and Gladys are passing by sometime, will you stop and sign some checks?
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you.
Okay. The only thing I have tonight from the mayor is just a little update from the Community Economic Development Board. We are still in the process of applying for the $95,000, and we're also working on an application that will be available for people to apply for funds, not only this year, but hopefully if that program continues, in the next few years. So nothing really has happened too much since last month, but we are still moving towards having $95,000 to distribute once we have the application. So that's where that's at. And I think that's all I have. So we'll open up to public comments. So there is a way to raise your hand, or if we can see you and you want to wave, we'll take it that way. So, or you can chat. I guess they could even enter the chat at the bottom and say that you would like to comment. So we'll take public comments.
Tessa, let's start with Tessa, and then Matt will be second.
I'm curious, can you all hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I guess I'm still a little bit confused. I understand that that in the case of the appeal, standing was not granted. I'm confused about whether the issues that were voiced can be addressed in any other way. I'm just curious how the process works with that, and if that's something that needs to, that even can come forth in a different way. Yeah, I don't know if I explained that well. Yeah, that's what I'm curious about.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I think it's, anybody can submit a proposal or bring a proposal to the town council. We can approve it going to the planning commission if that's where it needs to go, or address it. But yeah, it's anybody in the public can initiate that, and we can certainly look at issues. Okay, Matt.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes.
See me, perhaps, too? So, a general comment. Maybe following up here, Tessa, on what you were saying, too, but I have a concern. And the concern as a citizen of Boulder is that a lot of the important things to discuss are not happening. And I understand a legal framework and how it works in a town and the necessity of it. At the same time, over the last few months, I've also felt and seen and heard from others that an open discussion of things going on in town, such as around the art center, the appeal, and so on, there is no room to discuss them. And so while liability for financial sake in town and following the law is important, there's also another liability that to me is pretty crucial. And that's the liability that comes from when a town forgets its heart and soul and doesn't know how to communicate, have a place for open communication, understanding, healthy debate, and ways to collaboratively come to solutions that reflect the actual spirit of this town. And so to me, things feel out of balance, and I don't have a necessary solution to that, but I'm asking both the mayor and the town council if we start creating more room for something like that. Otherwise, I feel there's a distrust that happens not only between the town government and the citizens, but also we're all citizens, but also between the town government officials themselves. So that's my comment. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else, Michela?
Yeah, next is Josie Muse. Go ahead, okay. Josie.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, great, okay. In hindsight, I regret not having filed an appeal myself on the Smalley conditional use permit decision. I agree with all 11 of Mr. Nelson's appeal points. As a member of the Planning Commission, standing would not have been questioned and the appeal hearing would have moved forward. Mr. Nelson does have standing because he is both aggrieved and an adversely affected party. There were procedural errors in the conditional use permit decision. The Boulder Town Ordinance states that an appeal petition of a land use authority decision made under the authority of this ordinance or the town's other land use ordinance shall clearly identify the alleged error in any order, requirement, decision, or determination made by the land use authority. That is what Mark had in his appeal. Utah Municipal Code also states the same thing. The land use applicant, a board or officer of the municipality, or an adversely affected party may, within the applicable time period, appeal that decision to the appeal authority by alleging that there is an error in any order, requirement, decision, or determination made by the land use authority in the administration or interpretation of the land use ordinance. In addition, Mr. Nelson owns land and business in Boulder Town that are potentially affected by illegal land use decisions, as he stated in his submitted comments. Mr. Nelson is an appointed officer currently serving on the Board of Adjustments. In addition, the town should take into consideration that Mr. Nelson has served on the town board and the planning commission in the past and has working knowledge of the laws and regulations controlling land use decisions. Appointed officer is defined in the Utah Municipal Officers and Employees Act, otherwise known as the Ethics Act. It means any person appointed to any statutory office or position or any other person appointed to any position of employment with the city or with the community reinvestment agency under Title 17C. Appointed officers include, but are not limited to, persons serving on special, regular, or full-time committees, agencies, or boards, whether or not such persons are compensated for their services. Mayor Cox, you gave preference to the applicant's attorneys tonight and did not give Mr. Nelson, who is not an attorney, the opportunity to sufficiently argue his case.
Josie.
Yes. Mr. Nelson cited Utah case law that supports his standing claim. My response to Mr. Andrews, the case law that Mr. Nelson cited were all cited in Cedar Mountain Environmental versus Tooele County, which was a case on standing for an appeal on a conditional use permit. Mayor Cox, you did not allow the additional document that Mr. Nelson submitted today. This document explained the cited case law. Mr. Nelson requested that as part of the record. Instead of going over the case law here and saving some time, I would just ask that you refer back to that document because I think it's very clear where he has standing in case law. The appeal authority should have approved his standing and moved forward to an appeal hearing tonight. In addition, Ms. Julian was identified as having a conflict of interest in this matter as vice president of the Boulder Arts Council, as well as being part of Jackie Smalley's team on the conditional use application. She should have not been part of the vote this evening. Thank you for your time.
Hey, thank you. Anybody else? Michelle?
I don't have any hands raised. If you are not on camera, please either unmute yourself or put yourself on camera so we have a chance to hear from you if you want to talk.
Yeah. Hello, this is Judith Guile. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I am here on voice only, reinforcing what Ms. Elizabeth presented from the Welfare Council. I would just like to add two more points. One, I got here a little late, but was the point of creating a list of properties and residences that has really already been developed to track the RSTRs. Is that available for the Wildfire Council to begin some mapping activities?
Can I answer that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm working on a list, Judith, and I've had I did get your email, but I'm having some ongoing replying issues. I'm having some technical difficulties. So I would love to get together with you and we can talk about what I have, and you are welcome to all of it because it's all public record.
Thank you very much.
I don't have an actual physical map per se, but it does. I mean, it's, again, we could get together and talk about this.
Okay. if you're having technical difficulties with email, what is a good point of contact?
Either at the office, the 335-7300, or you can call me at home, and my landline is 335-7793.
Okay, thank you.
Absolutely.
I had one more comment regarding what I had submitted to Elizabeth. Thank you for supporting the demonstration site, and I will work on that with my other participants. But secondly, how does the council feel about a beginning to do a person-to-person survey to identify structures, roads, driveways, utilities, and gas sites?
I would love to have you submit a proposal if you'd like us to consider that.
Okay. How should I do it? Just restate what I have just said and lay out what sections I'm talking about and who might be volunteering?
Yes. You know, I don't think we're ready to address it tonight, but if it comes in the form of a document that we can all look at and read, it'll give us a better idea of what you want done.
Thank you. That's the direction I needed. Thank
you. Okay, thank you. Anybody else, Michela?
I don't have any hands raised in the participant list.
Okay.
Dan, anybody? Now's your chance.
Okay, if there are no more public comments, I will make...
Steve, can I make one comment before you close the meeting?
Yes.
Regarding what Josie brought up during the public comments, Mark Nelson had alleged that I, as a town council member, have a conflict of interest. And for the record, I am on the Arts Council. I am the head teacher at Boulder Elementary School. I have no financial interest in the project and nothing financial to gain. I was able to be impartial and follow the law to the best of my ability in this hearing, and I believe that the state law required me not to recuse myself and was able to participate and vote as proposed and didn't have to recuse myself from participating or voting as proposed by Mark Nelson in his letter of appeal.
Okay, thank you. Okay, if there are no more public comments, I will make a motion that we adjourn.
I'll second the motion.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor, aye.
Gladys, yes. Aye.
Elizabeth Julian, aye.
Conrad?
Aye.
Okay, thank you, everyone.
Just really quick, who seconded the adjourn motion? Was that Gladys
Elizabeth.
Or Elizabeth?
Okay, great. No, Elizabeth. I actually don't know. We both said it.
Steve made the motion and Elizabeth seconded.
Okay. All right. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Good night.
Do you want to leave?
Oh, yes. We probably better leave.
Elena, come bring my iPad out.